1, 2, 3.
Hey everybody, welcome to something kind of new.
Yes.
We are doing this little podcast and we're calling it the Wild Fireside Chat.
Wild Fireside Chat.
Yes. So the purpose of this is it'll be a chat, just a casual conversation to kind of address topics, events, and more, just from a biblical perspective. And kind of the hope of this is just to encourage the listeners in their walk with Jesus to continue to burn with passion for
yes.
him, just with different topics and addressing them from God's point of view, hoping
Absolutely.
To encourage them and to help them walk in their weekly lives, especially for young adults and millennials. So over time, this podcast will probably evolve and grow, and so things might change, but this is our first one,
yes.
so just bear with us if anything goes weird. Or, but yeah, we just lift this up to God, and we're excited. So Coy, who's in the room with
us
today?
So we have a couple panels. So me and Jeremy are going to be the co-hosts for the most part of this, but today we have very special guests in their field of work. We have... of course, they're going to introduce a little bit more about themselves, but we have Pastor Butch on my right, and we have Pastor Ralph, who's traveled far and wide to join us here this morning. And they both have a lot of stuff that they can give to us as a church and even as a generation. So I want to introduce them. And also Jeremy, as he is my co-host. And today we're talking about new beginnings. And Jeremy, I say for last because he actually just graduated a couple days. So congrats. For UT Dallas. But things like new beginnings is what we're going to be talking about. So new beginnings. We're talking about the new year, right? Everyone's excited. But more so, we're talking about the new beginning of Wildfire.
Mm-hmm.
And so how did that come about? How did we come to think of it? How did God speak to our leaders and to how we're going to make this process work? And so without further ado, we're going to be getting, again, the vision from Pastor Butch, alongside other key aspects of the ministry of a church plant from Pastor Ralph. So how did Wildfire start? The origin story.
You know, you're from California, Coy.
I am. Yes.
So how does...
Jeremy, too, actually.
You guys, you're familiar with Wildfire. So how does Wildfire begin?
With
in its literal sense.
With a little, it can be as little as a match. It could be an accidental spray of...
Why is it called wild?
Well, something small grows into something big and it's
spreads.
Uncontrollable, unstoppable. It just spreads real quick.
Yeah.
That's why.
No
warning. That's why it's something that's totally, like, organic.
Mm-hmm.
It's just there and you're observing what's happening and you're overwhelmed with the magnitude of what's taking place.
Sure.
And I feel strongly that the movement of Wildfire that you guys have taken seriously indeed has the feature of that literal sense. I do have two daughters. They're both millennial. And they're from New York, and this germ thought came up with a question from them. They were asking me about my sensitivity to the current generation, their generation, in terms of connecting the gospel, and if I'm even paying attention to what's currently happening. Because what they're saying is that, with due respect, we grew up in Dallas at the Biblical Community Church. And if there's one thing that we are so thankful for, it is the manner by which you proclaimed and taught the word. It's the Biblical Community Church. And so we grew up in that church and we fell in love with the wisdom of God's word. But as we progressed and... you know, teenagers and became young adults, and they're both married now.
Mm-hmm.
And they said we began attending churches in New York, and we began to see an equation that was somehow missing in most churches, and that equation is this: The gospel never changes. It's fixed. It's like hardware.
Sure.
But then context, the context and the historical moment of every place, like Dallas, Manhattan, mm-hmm. California,
different
Austin,
cultures of cities, yeah.
That moves.
Sure.
And if you pay close attention, it moves almost daily. Mm-hmm. The context changes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The historical moment changes like month to month. Like I heard, they said that in Dallas, like last year, there are 500 migrants a day. So the demographics is altered. It's altered. It doesn't change. It's altered.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so what they're saying is, I know you recognize that the gospel is the hardware. It doesn't change.
Right.
Because that's the infinite wisdom of God. And then you have the software, mm-hmm. which is the context, the cultural context and the historical moment. The thing that we'd like to ask you, Dad, is this. Are you aware that there's a middleware? And I go, what's middleware? It's in the world of computers, they said. And, you know, there is such thing as a middleware. It's the thing that connects the hardware to the software. And that is the line, the gospel line. Now, the thing that we're asking you, Dad, is this. Are you thinking and seriously considering the lines? Because if you're not going to consider the lines, you will lose the millennials. Because with due respect, Dad, you're good. But the way we receive is different.
Yeah.
These days.
Mm-hmm.
And so we began talking, we began this conversation, we began paying close attention to the nuance of the middle, the line.
Yeah.
The middleware. And I began to notice that you guys do things differently. You work differently. Fast. You like to work from home. And you watch a lot of video games. And you think you're kind of like slouching and whatnot. But you are actually working. And quite surprisingly, there are times that I'm amazed because you do better work than us. Sad to say. But that's a reality. And so I'm saying, if I'm going to miss this, the line, and not pay close attention to this, there's a strong possibility that the gospel will not be presented and received by the millennials and the next generation. By the way, there's statistically 84%, and that's current, 84% of your age groups have stopped going to churches in North America. And you know why? Because the middleware is not existing. They cannot process it. It's
sure.
The central gospel, the centrality of the gospel is not presented in a way that's coherent according to your terms.
Sure. Right.
And Wildfire is about that. It's intentional paying close attention to the middle. And my daughters told me, the best people who can communicate the centrality of the gospel to millennials and next gen people are millennials.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Right.
But don't get us wrong, Dad. We need the anchoring of the gray hairs like you. Because you're stable and the years of spirituality and spiritual discipline and spiritual formation that you've gone through is something that we don't have.
Yeah.
Sure.
And so with that anchoring and that mentoring, and then you download the substance of that spirituality and that spiritual discipline, and then you partnering with us and you paying close attention to the middleware, that if that happens, it's going to be a wildfire in the US. That 84% will be reversed. The 15% remaining will set this thing on fire, and before you know it, it's reversed. There are 84% who are going back to the church. And 15% scratching their heads and wondering, why are we still here? Let's join them. Because this gospel thing that they're talking about is seriously, wow. It's a game changer. So let's hop in. Let's see what this thing is all about. That is Wildfire.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, and I was talking with Pastor Ralph yesterday, and we were talking about how a lot of the things that millennials and young adults look for now is a relationship. Something that's deep, because I think in the rise of our teenage years and our growing years, for a lot of us, a lot of these apps started coming out. So like Twitter, Instagram, Facebook really started booming in the late 2000s, 2008s. And so it became more about trying to emulate different things that they would see, but it just wasn't applicable in their daily life. They would look at celebrities because now they're so reachable and you could see what the celebrities are doing on a daily basis. So now you try to copy that and pattern your lifestyle against that. But they're on another place than you are as a person. And so it helps, or it destroys the psyche of the human, because now you're comparing yourself to this and you're looking in the mirror and you're saying, man, what's going on with this? How come I don't have a beautiful life or a relationship with the people that I love? I can't post anything like that. So here we are, millennials, work. And now, like you said, now there's no place for church. And I was reading, there's an awesome article from Washington Post, and let me just read it real quick. From Christine Emba. She writes, religious and other civic organizations will atrophy, and not just from lack of funds. Faith and practice can't persevere through our generation without attendance, and neither can the hope they tend to bring. And while they may not seem like a problem now, it will soon. We still want relationships and transcendence to be part of something bigger than ourselves. Our drive for those things isn't likely to wane, despite how ambivalent we might feel about ancient liturgies or interminable coffee hours or even pastors whose politics have taken a sharp MAGA wards. Wow. Some of us are turning to convenient, low-commitment substitutes for faith and fellowship. Astrology, the easy spiritualism of yoga and self-care, posting away on Twitter and playing more games. Yes, literal games. And she writes here, the BLS survey found out that we're nearly twice as likely to get our game on than non-millennials. And for a longer time. But then again, we are the World of Warcraft generation. She continues to say, here's what really worries me. A few of these activities are as geared toward building deep relationships and communal support as the religious traditions the millennials are leaving behind. Actively participating in a congregation means embedding oneself in a community. This involves you in the lives of others and the other way around, their joys and sadnesses, connections and expectations. By leaving religion or the relationship of Christianity, we are shrugging off the ties that bind, not just loosening them temporarily. Which is freeing in some sense. They say, finally, no one's breathing down my neck about finding a spouse, until it's not. Much of the conversation about millennials today does center on workload and debt, but it's our generation's complaint about relationship culture, family formation, and the lack thereof that are likely to reach a crescendo in the coming years. Dating apps were exciting in 2012, but 7 years later, we're burnt out. A new wave of egg-freezing startups is targeting the growing number of millennial women who still haven't found a partner they hoped they would. In longer-range studies, researchers are also seeing that millennials are busier, but also more lonely. Perhaps as a result, we are having much less intimate relationships, attributable to fewer long-term relationships in the process. Exactly the sort of tie-ups that used to be fostered by churches and civic organizations. The Pew and BLS surveys are MRIs for the soul. They give a snapshot of busy millennial life that many will easily attribute to our phase of life, they say. But while phases pass, the underlying needs and wants will continue to matter. What happens when sleeping, working, and gaming more than our elders begins to make less sense. If we're closing the church doors behind us, we'll have to find somewhere else to tend our spirits and our hearts. Mm. And that's the problem, yeah. Right? And so for you, Pastor Ralph, you've seen many different church plants. And you've seen the good and the bad and the ugly. Yeah. So for Wildfire to make a difference in the community and long-term all over the world, what are some things that you can help us with and impart your wisdom that you've seen and taken a part of yourself?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Thanks also for, you know, sharing that article.
Yeah.
You know, it reminds me that God is the God of relationships.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
And he's our creator. Yeah. When he made us and created us, mm-hmm. is for the purpose of relationship with
that's
him.
Right.
And also as we grow in our relationship with him, then we can also learn to enjoy
sure.
that relationship
sure.
with one another.
Yes.
So
absolutely.
And I'm hearing more and more the word relationship, mm-hmm. you know, in the church planting world.
Mm-hmm.
And also the word intentional. Because relationship doesn't just happen automatically.
Sure. Absolutely.
And you know, it has to be intentional, right? So, but again, I think the process is, you know, to really begin a work is to grow in that relationship with God, you know, through abiding in Him, in His Word, and prayer. And even in the context of Matthew chapter 28, you can see that when Jesus Christ gave the Great Commission, He gave it in the context of relationship. And many times what we miss is, you know, we are so focused on obedience-based relationship. And then, or we swing, you know, to the other side, which is knowledge-based relationship. Or sometimes we combine it, you know, void of relationship. But many times, you know, as we try to really navigate through discipleship, you know, we hit the wall, and then we realize, you know, what's wrong? We did everything we could based on the book, but you know, why, what's missing, right? So, but if we really look at Matthew chapter 28, Jesus Christ said, after He gave this command, you know, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. There are three key words there that we can see, you know, as something that we can probably grasp or, you know, dig deep into as we start a new beginning in a movement of wildfire, is that anything that we do, if we are going to teach knowledge to those that we have shared the gospel with and then encourage them to obey, we should do it in the context of relationship. Because the key words there is that teach them to obey. So teach them knowledge, right? But also the purpose of teaching is obedience. So there's knowledge, obedience, but Jesus Christ said, the last phrase, He said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age," which is with, you know, the key word there is His, our relationship, you know, with Him. Because if we only focus on obedience, you know, the tendency is that we become legalistic. Or if we only focus on knowledge, the tendency is we become hypocritical. We get so much knowledge, but we're not, you know, doing what we know. But if we do it, you know, a combination of three, relationship with Jesus Christ, abiding in Him, that's overflowing in knowledge and obedience, then, you know, we are starting good. We're starting right. And, you know, that new beginning is going to be uncontainable and unstoppable, like wildfire.
Yeah, and that's good. And so we're, again, we're all learning from this experience. And so it's really, really crucial for us to learn from others as well. So what have you seen, like, in churches that you said, man, I don't know if that's a good practice, or even something that you have seen that you said, man, I would love if other churches would start doing that. Anything that stands out in particular, or even just general examples of what you saw?
Yeah, I think one thing that we are looking into, and we learn from church planters and new churches, is that churches who doesn't succeed, they're focused so much on performance, events, programs, rather than being focused on God and people. And sometimes, you know, we use the excuse as, you know, this program is for people. Right? Or this activity is for people anyway, right? But the problem is that, you know, we invest so much time and energy in planning the program, and instead of being with people. And so it's very subtle.
And so you don't even know
You don't even know that it's happening. You thought, because you're doing this for people, but actually, it's really, you know, if you dig this, it's not really for people. It's really probably something that you want to succeed, you know, you want to, you know, get this, you know, thing going in expense of people or relationship with people. So
That is good.
That's great.
That's a good scope. Any questions you have, Jeremy, that you've...
One for Pastor Butch.
Sure.
You know, God kind of, or He did give you this vision of wildfire. Would you kind of let us into where you see God taking this long term? What's God's vision that He gave you for wildfire to grow into?
Yeah, very simple. It's actually a simple mathematical equation. You've got 84% millennials who stopped going to the church. It's going to be an unstoppable reversal of that, because there has been a guarantee given by the Lord of Lords.
Mm.
He said nothing can stop this.
Mm.
See, think of the best, the most opulent company, corporation that you can think of in this day and age, and God said, watch them and compare them with my kingdom work.
Mm, sure.
Compare them with the church.
Right.
Because my church will never run dry.
Mm.
It will advance. Men and companies and corporations and coalitions will not be able to stop it. By the way, hell itself will not be able to stop it. I don't know about you, but that is more than an enterprise.
Yeah.
And so a total reversal of the 84 percent is what I see. And so if that happens, I'm looking at a conflagration of church plants all across the United States. A very weak projection is one wildfire per state. And that includes Manila. Because just because that's your vacation spot. And you know, I see wildfire Santorini.
Oh, man.
I'll see wildfire Rome, just because I'm reading the book of Romans. and wildfire Ephesus.
Wow.
Huh? Because that was where it was before, but it died a natural death because they did not pay attention to the middleware.
Sure,
sure. So it's recapturing, what belongs to God.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so if there are migrants in Mars, there's going to be wildfire Mars. I'm down with this. I'm so excited. There's no stopping this, guys, because I said if you hear this wildfire, you will drop everything and just go with this movement, because you don't want to be obsolete, man. Yeah, this wildfire thing is larger than life. It's larger than all of our lives combined, because it is the kingdom of God. And you know what propels it? I love what Pastor Rob said, that the key point is relationship.
Yeah.
I've been studying that word carefully.
Mm-hmm.
And I find something that's delicious. A first time that it's used in the Bible, you will find it in the first few pages of the book of Genesis. Right there in the get-go, the word for relationship, you'll find it. It's
mm-hmm.
the Hebrew word yada.
Mm-hmm.
Powerful word. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting that the English mistranslates it. Because the word yada is first seen in this phrase. And you're very familiar. God had sex with Eve. The word there is yada. And that's the word for relationship. And so the poor translation of had sex, that's a poor translation.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we think of sex, we already know what you're thinking. But as far as God is concerned, when God said Adam, yada,
yeah.
Eve,
sure, Adam.
It
yeah.
means Adam relationship with Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And relationship is larger
sure.
and more grand than sexual intercourse.
Sure.
Yeah.
But we marginalize it
sure.
because we think sex is kind of like just like that physical contact.
Mm-hmm.
No, as far as God is concerned, no. It's the intentional flourishing of two persons within a covenant agreement that they're committed one for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And not only man and wife, but friends like you, my brothers. And can you imagine if that equation gets translated and
sure.
migrated to the church? That's why the people back in the first germination of the church, they were looking at the Christians. The pagans were looking at the Christians and they were saying, who are these crazy people? We really do not know what happened to them. Why they're like this? They're very passionate. But one thing we know, we've never seen humans loving other humans the way they do.
Mm.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And that's what that was what set on fire. That was what
yeah.
was set on fire in the first century Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
The quality point index of the relationship of the yada.
Yeah.
So I love this guy here, Pastor Rob. Whenever we end our conversations, sometimes it's very awkward because it's man to man. But he looks at me straight in the eye and says, "Love you, bro."
Yeah.
And I feel the force,
sure.
because he's so committed to me,
sure.
as my brother.
Right.
And I know that.
Mm.
And you almost get the sense that this guy is willing to give up everything, like his life.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I need a kidney or if I need a left eye, like this guy's willing to give me his eye, I think. and that's the point of yada. And,
yeah,
and if we
sure.
get into that,
that's
the essence. That's why I want to piggyback from what he's saying. The essence is, and what your lady writer here is trying to imply, the most important aspect that the church has forgotten and has ignored is this relational thing.
Yeah.
Because Christianity, remember this, Christianity is not a set of strategies.
Yeah.
It is an intentional, personal, what? Yada, with
yes.
Jesus.
Mm.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's a personal relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
I love you, bro.
Love you too.
Perfect transition. So as we continue to wrap up this episode, we don't do this, or we probably won't do this for all of our guests here, but since Pastor Ralph is with us, we actually got him a present.
Oh, wow.
We got him a present. So one of his favorite spots here in Texas.
I love it.
Is In-N-Out. So we got him an In-N-Out a Texas t-shirt, and he loves it. And so
thank you so much,
yeah,
man.
We love you. Thank you for being
love
here
you,
with
man.
Us.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
For the kickoff of Wildfire
so
Sidechat.
Thank you so much.
It's been good. It's been definitely good to hear your thoughts. We know you love it. And we had lunch there yesterday. So I said, man, let's get Pastor Ralph a
t-shirt.
That's
amazing.
Man.
That's an amazing
thank you, brothers.
Yes. Merry Christmas
day,
from
man.
The Wildfire team. As we wrap up, yeah. Again, thank you again for both of your time.
Oh, thank you.
We'll definitely do
thank
this
so much.
One more time.
Thanks for
what
you do.
It's been a
do
pleasure.
Do you have any last remarks?
Yeah, anything last for us?
Oh, yeah. My prayer for you is that, you know, you'll continue to dig deep in your abiding in Christ, because that's, you know, his invitation for us. And and it's so exciting to learn what it is to abide in him as he abides in us. And everything that we do and that we express in obedience to him is an overflow of that abiding in Christ. So
yes. Absolutely.
Keep abiding in him.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. So yeah, as we wrap up this new little podcast here, just talking about new beginnings, we just thank you guys for being here.
Yes.
And
thank you.
We're excited for Wildfire to come this January, this
yes.
coming new year.
This coming new year.
And just to see the middleware partnered with the gospel. And to see what God does with that, what the young adults, their culture and their lifestyle paired with the truth of the gospel, and how that can impact not just here in Richardson, but prayerfully all over the world. And so we thank you guys for your just words, and we want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. I know Koi's traveling here in a couple hours.
Yeah.
So thank you guys. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. We'll see you guys in the new year. 2020.
Wildfire in Mars coming soon. We'll see you guys.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
God bless, guys.